pogo stick, a juggler, and a cowboy walk into a radio studio. Sounds like the start of a bad joke, but it's just this edition of Central Standard. I'm Jeremy Bernfeld. Today we're talking Lawrence Busker Festival, a celebration of wacky, kooky sidewalk entertainment. We've got a juggler. We've got a six-shooter spinning cowboy. We have a fire eater, all here with us today in the studio. And we want to hear about your favorite sidewalk, sideshow, just plain alternative acts. But first, more surprises. It's August, but the Kansas City Royals are playing meaningful baseball. The Royals sit at 64-61, three games over 500, and it's August 22nd. They've breathed life into a downtrodden fan base. Fans all over Kansas City are remembering what it's like to hope. But can the Royals really make the playoffs? Let's bring in Greg Eklund, KCUR sports contributor. Thanks for coming on the show, Greg.
Thanks, Jeremy. Glad to be here.
So let's start with the history. It's late in the season. The Royals are over 500. They have an outside chance at making the playoffs. But so what? I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, the big deal is the fact that they haven't been in the postseason since they won the World Series in 1985. They haven't had a winning record since 2003. This is almost a generation of fans who have never experienced any kind of postseason, so that's why it's a big deal.
So we're talking Royals in Kansas City. You know, what do you think, given that history? Are you daring to dream? What would constitute a success for the Royals this year, in your opinion?
Well, from the Royals' standpoint, success would be making the postseason. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think it's still important for the Royals to finish with a winning record. And right now, with the streak they're going through, that's questionable. There is a chance with a whole month of September ahead of them that they could fall into the doldrums that they fell into in the month of May. So there still is a lot on the line for the Royals as they finish out this season.
Well, Kansas City, I want to know from you what would constitute a success. We've heard from Greg Eklund. What about you, though? Are you daring to dream? So give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. So, you know, Greg, to get back to it, they've stumbled some this week, but the Royals came out of the All-Star break scorching hot. They won 21 of 29 games just after the break. You know, that has a lot of folks around here thinking optimistically, right?
Well, sure. When you put on a run like that and a winning streak like that, and you climb yourself into contention not only for the division title, but for the wild card, which in 1985 they didn't have the luxury of contending for a wild card. So if you don't win the division, you still have a chance at postseason play. And that's, you know, where the excitement lies. Mathematically, they're still alive, but there are too many teams, in my opinion, now to climb over to capture one of those two wild card spots in the American League.
Okay, so let's reset that. They remain 9.5 games behind the Detroit Tigers currently,
a long way
staring up at the Tigers, who are the leaders of the American League Central Division, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're still 6.5 games out of a wild card spot.
Correct.
So. Lay it on us, Greg. Well, what are the chances?
Very slim. they have left themselves for a little margin of error, and they could not afford to do what they've done over the last week at this stage of the season. And basically what they've done is they've lost three straight series. They lost against the Marlins, who had the most losses in the National League. They lost against the Detroit Tigers, a team that they needed really to win 4 out of 5 to gain any significant ground, not just on the Tigers in the Central, but in the wild card race. And now, with a game to play against the White Sox tonight, they've already lost this series by losing the first two games of the series.
So they've lost 7 of the last 9, I believe. They're on quite the downward spiral.
And at this stage of the year, as we approach September, and with other teams passing them up now in the wild card race. They were ahead of the Yankees. Now the Yankees are making some noise because they're chasing a wild card berth too. As I mentioned, there's too much to overcome at this point.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying, and let's temper enthusiasm, but they've got 16 of 17 games against...
I hate to rain on your parade.
That's true. Well, not just mine. It's this whole generation that you talked
sure.
about. 16 of 17 games against teams that are under 500. Yeah. They've still got six against the Tigers. I mean, you know, surely there's some opportunity.
Well, there is, and it's not impossible. There have been teams in history that have proven that if as long as you are mathematically in there, you have a chance. The Cardinals 2 years ago, the Colorado Rockies a few years ago when they were the Cinderella story and got all the way to the World Series. So, yeah, if there's a history book to be written, we'd love to have a new chapter written here in Kansas City. But as I had mentioned, when you have Cleveland chasing the wild card, in the West you have Oakland and Texas not only battling for the division lead, but the team that doesn't win the division is going to be a wild card contender. They're ahead of the Royals. In the East, you have Tampa Bay and Baltimore that are chasing the Red Sox. They're both in wild card contention. So even if the Royals head-to-head chop off a few games from the Cleveland Indians, there are still the Rays, the Orioles, and the Rangers or Athletics still to climb over.
So can you talk us through this spiral? Do we know, you know, as we said, they started hot, 21 of 29 from the All-Star yep. break. Now they've lost 7 of 9. What's happened?
Well, the run support isn't there, and this is what plagued them in the month of May. And we're talking a little bit before the show. This reminds me of the 1968 Dodgers, and people who follow the St. Louis Cardinals will remember that 68 was a year that the Cardinals won the pennant and played in the World Series that year against the Tigers. The Dodgers in 68 set a major league record when they scored a single run in five straight games. The oddity in that is that the Dodgers won two of those five games because they had great pitching. They didn't have Koufax at that time because he had retired, but they still had two Hall of Famers, Don Sutton and Don Drysdale, and the rotation was rounded out by a couple of other guys named Bill Singer and Claude Osteen. A pretty solid pitching staff. I'm not saying that the Royals have Hall of Fame pitchers on the mound, but they have a pretty solid pitching staff. They're just not getting the runs to back them up.
So we'll say it doesn't look good for the Royals' playoff chances. But as we've been saying, excitement in August has been rare yeah. here in Kansas City. So, you know, you mentioned the playoffs would certainly be a success for the team. But can we already notch it up? Can we already say this has been a successful year? I mean, it's certainly shown improvement from recent years past.
Not yet. Again, I think it depends on the outcome of September. If you finish below 500, it's not a successful season. They have been successfully keeping people interested in the month of August. That's one thing we asked for. A summer after the All-Star break, where we're not talking so much about Chiefs training camp, but keeping an interest in how the Royals are placed in the American League Central. In the month of August this year, they made it interesting. They had that hot run right after the All-Star break, and they created some excitement around town, and it reflected in the gate. Not only in the gate, but it reflected in ratings records for Fox Television on the Royals broadcasts. So they created some excitement around town. For the past couple days, I think people in town sensed it after losing 3 out of 5 over the weekend against the Detroit Tigers. They've had a crowd of just slightly more than 13,000 the last couple of nights. No electricity in the stands, and the play on the field has reflected that as well. The Royals have not played very well against the White Sox.
So if we remember back in May, June, things weren't looking great for the Royals then. And as you said, we may be slipping back into those doldrums. But, you know, what changed? What spurred them on this hot streak? What spurred them to really pick up the play?
Part of it is what we had talked about early in the year. The key to the Royals' success this season are those two cornerstones on the corners of the infield and their progress as major league players. Eric Hosmer at first base, Mike Moustakas at third base. It could partly be associated with the hiring of George Brett when he was the interim hitting coach, because I think there was something to the emergence of Eric Hosmer as a better hitter since then. He has been productive for the Royals and actually one of the few who have been consistently productive over the course of the second half of the season. Moustakas, on the other hand, has been streaky, and now he's been hurt.
That's the third baseman, Mike Moustakas.
Sure. He's had a calf injury, so he's been in and out of the lineup. It looked like he was showing some signs of coming out of his season-long slump, but now the injury factor has caught up to him, and it looks like he's probably going to be at less than 100% injury-wise for the rest of the season. He needs to probably get himself in better shape for next year to know what it is like for a team to be conditioned at this time of the year to be playing for a division or the postseason.
Certainly uncharted territories, right, for this franchise and the players.
As a team, they're a team that's learning how to win, too. There's a lot to be said for that. They learned how to win at the minor league level. It's a little bit different story when you have to do it at the major league level.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jeremy Bernfeld. Our guest is Greg Eklund, KCUR sports contributor, and we're doing a little Royals talk right now. So one of the big headlines from this year was the trade for pitcher James Shields. The Royals traded young phenom Will Myers and some others for Shields, and it was controversial. You know, while Shields is an above-average pitcher, perhaps the best on the Royals staff, Myers is a young, budding star. So how has that trade worked out, looking back?
It's actually worked out well for both teams. One of the Royals' reasons for success this year is the pitching of James Shields. His record and earned run average might not reflect it, again, because of run support, but he's going to be actually throwing on the Royals, on the mound for the Royals tonight against the White Sox in a badly needed win. And they call him Big Game James for situations like this. And in a lot of cases, he has pitched well for the Royals when they needed a win. He's the kind of pitcher that you throw out to the mound, the kind that you would refer to as a stopper. If there's a losing trend or a losing streak, Big Game James is the guy to be counted upon to stop that streak, and he'll be on the mound for the Royals tonight. I think it's worked out well. The Royals had to make that deal. There was an interesting column on that by Vahe Gregorian in the Kansas City Star a while back, and I agree with him. It was a trade that had to be made. There is no question that Will Myers is going to be a good player for the Tampa Bay Rays, but for the Royals to get things turned around this year, they needed to upgrade their pitching, and it came at a steep price.
A very steep price. Myers is the favorite to be the Rookie of the Year in the American League, and so that's a guy who, you know, may have been hitting home runs in Kauffman Stadium instead of down in Tampa Bay.
Sure, and one of the holes in the Royals lineup is below Billy Butler. They need somebody to successfully hit behind Billy Butler, and the Royals have been shuffling their lineup this year. Billy Butler has not had the kind of season that Royals fans are accustomed to seeing from him, and one of the reasons is because there's not another strong hitter hitting behind him consistently.
So, as you said, this is a young team. You said they're trying to learn how to win. They're certainly young guys. Mike Moustakas, you mentioned the third baseman. He's 24. First baseman Eric Hosmer is 23. Catcher Sal Perez, who made the All-Star team, he's just 23. He was born in 1990, just to give some perspective. Yeah, that's
5 years after the World Series in Kansas City.
Talk about a generation that hasn't seen anything from the Royals. You know, some of the players haven't seen anything from the Royals. So these are young players. They've had their ups and downs, but they're major league ready. They've proved that. So is this the start of something good? Can we expect bigger things, or is the gulf just too far between them and the Tigers in the coming years?
No, actually, I think there's a lot of reason for hope. It's just filling in those holes that need to be plugged. They need to figure out who that hitter is going to be behind Billy Butler. They need to figure out where they want Alex Gordon, who is another all-star, in the lineup, you know, because they've had him at the top, the middle, below Billy Butler. It seems like they can't figure that quite out yet. They need to have a hole at second base plugged one way or the other, because they've gone through a turnstile of second baseman this season. And they have some question marks after this season because Irvin Santana, who is another good pitcher for the Royals this year, is going to be a free agent. So if they can't afford him, and in my opinion, they can't, They're going to have to figure out, is Danny Duffy ready to step into the role as the rotation guy who could be the type of pitcher who could be a guy like Big Game James who could stop the other team and stop losing streaks?
Well, I think that's been the question around here. There are holes. There are so many holes. And so, you know, it seems like you plug one with James Shields on the pitching staff and then another opens up in second base. So, you know, ownership has consistently not spent a lot of money on a major league roster. And I think there's been a lot of agitation for that. You know, there are young stars on the roster. Now may be the time to try to get ownership to invest in the team. You know, can this be done with trades or acquisitions, or what has to happen to plug the holes?
Well, I think if you use the money that you're working with expeditiously, as the Tampa Bay Rays have, they're almost the model for consistency over the last 5 years on how you keep a team contending without overspending. Because if you look at some of the players that the Rays let get away, they either traded them or allowed them to walk as free agents. I'm referring to a left fielder, Carl Crawford, who was a great left fielder for the Rays, but he signed a huge free agent contract for Boston. And then he didn't really work out for Boston, but he's in L.A. right now. But they had to make a decision. Are they going to pay them or let them walk? But at the same time, they were developing their own talent in the minor leagues or obtaining talent through trades. That's what the Royals have to do, because there is going to be a day where the Royals are going to have to make some tough decisions on some guys. And is there hope? Yes. But the window isn't that large for opportunity for the Royals because of those decisions that are going to be made down the road.
So there, as you mentioned, are plenty of fans in Kansas City who think August, they think Chiefs training camp and not the Royals. So if they haven't been paying attention and they want to get back on the Royals bandwagon, maybe try to spur the team to a couple of wins and keep them in the hunt, what do they need to know for the stretch runs? Who are the players to root for? What are the compelling storylines that they should be aware of in the next couple of weeks?
On the Royals standpoint, it's pretty – there aren't too many newcomers, so to speak, to promote from the minor leagues. These are the guys that they have on the major league roster that, as we had mentioned before, are going to have to grow and improve and be better ball players, because this is the core of the team that we're going to be looking at for 2014 to be in this same position, if not in a better position to contend for the American League Central.
All right, Greg, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
That's Greg Eklund, KCUR sports contributor. I'm Jeremy Bernfeld. This is KCUR.